The Volume.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Pirelli Scorpion Weather Active. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. Turn first-round picks like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. Visit PaniniAmerica.net today.
Everybody, it's Harvey Levin. You know TMZ.com and our television shows for breaking news, big stories all over the world. Well, we are now doing it in a podcast. We're doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, where we're going to dig deeper into the stories that we break and follow on the website. So you can check out our podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check it out, the TMZ podcast, now available on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on-demand, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. So whether you want to catch the game live or watch the latest blockbuster, they've got you covered. And there's no annual contract. DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
The J-Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, or you're taking the overs, the unders. They make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, welcome to the J-Boy Show on The Volume. Presented by FanDuel and hosted by Jake Crane.
This is Roman Harper.
This is Derek Stingley Jr.
This is David Pollack, and you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And thanks for watching the J-Boy Show.
Look, we had a great time. Me and the Wolfpack had a great time in Vegas. But I'm not going to lie. Damn, it feels good to be back live here in the College Football Hall of Fame. You talk about racking up the air miles, and y'all know me. Look, this is our show. This is the people's show, as this pop filter is just falling apart over here. I literally walked around 45 minutes to an hour to find my car in the Atlanta airport today.
You did today.
Like going back. We left Vegas this morning, had a flight, left out at 6 a.m. You know, got up pretty early, and you know, at the end of the day, that's Pacific time, too.
Oh.
You know, that's Pacific time. Then it's Central time. Then it's Eastern time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're kind of regrouping. But it's great to be back live. Shout out to the Booster Club, the greatest grassroots movement since grass.
We're going to get to them today.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get to y'all today. Best believe it. It's so funny. I had so many people hit me up saying, hey, man, I was asking questions in the chat the past 2 days, not realizing y'all weren't live.
Good.
I couldn't answer it. But you know what? We're coming back like
Jordan. It's working.
And believe me, the interviews we got, Carson Palmer, Aaron Taylor, you're going to see today. I mean, you go down CJ Spiller. I mean, you go down the list. We got some really good stuff and got a great show for you today. I want to talk a little bit about this Chip Kelly to Oregon situation. Now that Oregon is open with Mario Cristobal, Mama called, he went back home. You know, does Chip kind of go back home per se? You know, him and pull a Gordon Bombay and let's go back and run it with the Ducks, you know, one more time. Going to talk about that. Aaron Taylor, former standout Notre Dame offensive lineman, College Football Hall of Fame member. Shout out to the National Football Foundation for putting us up out there. It was unbelievable. He's going to join us to talk some Notre Dame, talk some playoff. And then Oklahoma, are they better prepared in the long run, let's say 3 to 5 years, with Brent Venables at the helm going into the SEC? I think there's a legitimate argument you can make that they are. We're going to bring on Parker Thune, does a great job for 247 Sports for Oregon. Going to talk with him about that. And then your questions. We are devoting a whole block to the Booster Club questions. And you better get ready. The bowl pick'em is coming fast and furious, Vin Diesel style. So we're going to have a bowl pick'em. Haven't decided if I'm going to do it on Yahoo, ESPN, exactly how we're going to do it. But we are going to do, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Had a great reach on Twitter, a great response on Twitter. But I want to talk about this Chip Kelly back to Oregon. To me, UCLA, he's fine there right now. Hadn't really got a quarterback in there that is elite, that you can really see it. But if you're Chip Kelly, still when I think of Chip Kelly, I think of Oregon.
Sure.
I really do. And what he did, you know, the offensive style that he helped kind of introduce as well. But when you look at the fit, you know the lay of the land. You know the administration. You know where to go to get a good burger, duck burger, whatever they're eating out in Oregon. You know how to recruit there, and his style fits Oregon. Because when you think of Oregon, what do you think of? You know, spreading it out, hurrying it up. Under Mario Cristobal, they were kind of more traditional. I mean, you would have some aspects of it that were a little bit different. But if Chip Kelly goes back to Oregon, why not?
Yeah.
With the coaching carousel now, why not? You got Lincoln Riley going to USC from Oklahoma. You got Brian Kelly going Notre Dame to LSU. You got Venables finally, you know, jumping out of the nest, bringing Jeff Lebby with him, something we talked about ad nauseum on here, and whether it was a good decision or not for Lebby to get out of under the Lane Kiffin wing, which, by the way, 2020, number 3 overall offense. 2021, I believe they're number 4. And Jeff Lebby has a lot to do with that. It's not just Lane Kiffin, but Chip Kelly to Oregon just makes sense. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense. And people say, oh, well, why would you leave a Pac-12 school to go to another Pac-12 school? That stuff happens. I think Chip Kelly is in a better position at Oregon to win big and get back on that kind of national stage than UCLA. I mean, Cone, what do you say?
Yeah, look, I mean, the fit is so mutual when I think of this, the as well as the past performance, right? Like, Chip Kelly hasn't really done a whole lot to write home about since he left mm-hmm. Oregon, and really vice versa. I mean, Oregon hasn't done better than they had done under Chip Kelly, right? So it's sort of like, to me, it brings to mind the Bobby Petrino Louisville situation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
where it's
yeah.
like, yeah, you would have like loved it if the next person came in and just blew it out of the water, and you don't have to go back to a former coach that you had. But it kind of worked with Louisville a little bit. You had Bobby Petrino the first time he left for greener pastures, realized they actually weren't greener and came home. Could have a similar situation here with Chip Kelly. And maybe that's just what he needs to sort of ignite that magic that he had that first time. Because I thought this was the best season that he has had since he left Oregon, right? This
yeah,
UCLA
I agree. Yeah,
team.
I agree.
You could see the pieces are starting to get put together. And maybe that's perfect timing
yeah.
to
yeah,
go
and,
home.
And but I can see, you know, Chip Kelly is not an elite recruiter. Like he's not. He's just not a guy that's going to go out there and beat Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and even Mario Cristobal and these guys on the trail. He's not. He's a guy that is going to, you know, obviously treat recruits right. He's going to bring in guys that you know, are lean offensively. You feel like with Chip Kelly, it's obviously he's an offensive guy. He kind of leans offensively. Mm-hmm. But to me, he's not a dominant recruiter. Going to a place like Oregon, that has the swag they have, that has the resources they have. Not that UCLA doesn't, but Oregon, to me, recruits itself more than UCLA does. And I think Chip Kelly is the type guy that he needs that. Because he's, schematically, Chip's, that's what he does. There's a reason he went to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Schematically, Chip is fine. It's that recruiting. You know, and he's not a Dan Mullen type person personality-wise, but I just feel like that other extra feather in the cap, you give him a little bit of that built-in advantage at Oregon with 938 different uniform combinations, whatever it is. I just feel like the fit's better, and I think he should do it.
Yeah, I feel like Chip Kelly's system sells itself, right? Especially what you see, like, for recruiting-wise. You go back to Oregon, you remember that Chip Kelly offense. It was basically a track meet every game.
Oh, yeah.
Every game was a track meet. And you go back to UCLA, and you kind of go through his records of what he's done there. So first year, 3-9, second year, 4-8, third year, 3-4. That was COVID year. This year, 8-4. So you know what you're getting with Chip Kelly, and you're getting a really good football coach, showed in the league, did it with Sam Bradford. And I think, you know, when you do think of Chip Kelly, you do think of Oregon, and I think what Chip Kelly will bring back to Oregon is kind of that velocity, that high-flying offense, because when I think of Oregon, that's what I think of. And Chip Kelly, when you get Chip Kelly, you're immediately hiring an identity, and it's a good identity.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great way to put it. I mean, I think you really are hiring an identity. And, and again, I think of Oregon. You know, I think of the Flying V on the hockey ice.
Gordon Bombay.
But I also think of high-flying, fast-paced, wide splits on offense, kind of a similar kind of Art Briles kind of flavor, the way they do the splits with the wide receiver. So we're going to see. What's the Booster Club saying, Blaine?
We got a question here from Murph Gaming, hashtag AskJBoy. Could you see Lane Kiffin or Aranda going to Oregon?
Look, I think I've talked about this. Dave Aranda, to me, is in a great spot. I think he's literally playing 3D chess. He's looking to say, wait a minute. We're in the Big 12. We just won the Big 12. Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12. And, you know, you're giving us Cincinnati, obviously, is a good opponent. You know, BYU, Houston. So, you know, UCF. You've already won the Big 12. The two biggest brands. I don't care if they've been good or not. Oklahoma's been running through the Big 12, you know, like a track meet.
Yeah.
So getting them out obviously takes a big pillar out of the Big 12. Now, Texas, we know, is still the biggest brand name in that conference, or had been until they left. So if I'm Dave Aranda, I'm kind of looking around after the smoke clears, and I'm like, we just won the Big 12, got a ton of momentum. I don't say anything during games. They're paying me handsomely because my name gets thrown around for every head coach opening. Why would I leave Baylor? Why would he leave Baylor? Looks like Jeff Grimes is comfortable. So I don't think Dave Aranda would go. Lane just signed the extension. I mean, Ole Miss, they went down to the vault. They went down to the old Oxford vault and pulled out, you know, 30, you know, the gold bars and said, all right, Lane, you know, here's the bars we really want you to have. So I don't see either one of them going. And if you're Lane Kiffin, yeah, to me, the more I think about it, and I know Lane, you know, wants to be at a place that can promote him the most and that he feels like has a way to the championship. But, I mean, Ole Miss, I know Matt Corral's leaving, but they get a guy like Dylan Gabriel. You know Lane's going to stay with a quarterback, and that defense is only going to get better. The more I'm looking around, I'm like, Lane may be smart to stay. And I was the first guy. I was one of the guys saying, I seriously believe that Lane had a chance at the Miami job.
Yeah,
and it could have got interesting.
I think the longer he stays at Ole Miss and the more equity he builds up there, the more he's going to showcase sort of a stability, right? And kind of get over that old mantra of, well, Lane just is out after one season or two seasons.
Well, he keeps building up at Ole Miss, you know, and he keeps winning. You know, one guy's going to retire soon.
Yeah.
One guy's going to retire soon. Yeah. And how crazy would it be?
How crazy would that be? I don't know.
Would Bama fans take him?
I don't know.
Okay, Bama fans, first of all, aren't going to take anybody, regardless of who it is.
You go from one extreme to the other. Not that I mean, Saban is literally the organizational, psychological, we are going to. It's like the movie The Big Green. Like, he saw the team. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen, it's a fantastic movie.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like that soccer team that, like, the Knights or whatever it is, and they're, like, the best coach soccer team. And, like, the coach is talking to them. They're all taking a bite at the Pop-Tart at the same time and putting them down. Like, that, to me, is what Nick Saban's doing. And then the Big Green is kind of like, you know, they're just running around, kicking the ball, having a good time, throwing it around before the game. I just don't know how you go from the process to Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin was a part of that process.
He was.
But
it didn't end beautifully. It didn't end gracefully.
I mean,
you know, kind of like Billy Napier did with Florida. But I just don't know if I could see Bama going from
Nick Saban to Lane Kiffin. Well, I mean, you're really
Who do you think, like, realistically, we don't know what type of Lane Kiffin we'll see in 3-4 years.
That's true. And the, and if he's still at Ole Miss, that was to my point, right? The more equity he can build. Say, look, I can prove to people that I have stability. I can be at a place for a long time. I can win 10 games a year for maybe 3 seasons mm-hmm. in a row. Now, look, Ole Miss just had their first 10-win season. What if he were able to go get 3 in a row for Ole Miss, right? With maybe 3 different quarterbacks.
And you're in the West. Now, it's not like you're not going to get in the playoffs.
Now Lane Kiffin is going to be able to say, I'm more than just an offensive guru. I can stay at a place, okay? Yeah. I can rally the fan base, and I can be your guy to one of those other big-time
institutions.
Well,
then you start stacking. And remember, at FAU, they were winning.
Yeah.
That won the conference championship. You show that you can build it there and then go to Ole Miss and build it there. Sure. I totally get what you're saying. I just find it interesting personality-wise. Blaine, what else the Boots Club
said?
Yeah,
I've got a question from the one and only DJ Barber. He's back.
Yeah.
Ask Jay Boy. He says, can you explain to me how Bama fans are number one in the playoff rankings and have a Heisman and winning quarterback and still find things to complain about? Kind of seems that that's what Saban rant was about.
Well, listen, and our buddy T-Bob had a great analogy on this. If you grew up in the Soviet Union, they told you everything was perfect. So you got used to thinking everything was perfect. No mistakes were ever made at all time. You know, Soviet Union planes do not crash. I think Bama fans, they've dominated for so long, and they've won so much, championship after championship, they've almost become numb to how hard it is to get there or what it feels like to not be dominant. Mm-hmm. And you have, I think you have half the fan base that is worried about coming back down to earth, so they want to continue to put as much pressure and keep trying to apply that pressure. But what Nick Saban is saying is like, I really don't. It's like when Dr. Evil looked at Scott when Scott wanted to kill Austin Powers. He's like, why don't we just get a gun and shoot Austin Powers right here instead of closing the doors and putting him behind that lair? And he looks at him, he's like, you know what, Scott? You just don't get it, do you? You don't. It's so hard, and I believe Aaron Taylor talks about this coming up. It's so hard to consistently win big in today's game at a place that's in the SEC, and then you look at college football and everything that's changing, the way it's evolved. Think about the way Nick Saban's teams were dominating 5, 6, 7 years ago compared to the way they're dominating now. Think about how the game has changed. But and look, Alabama's one of the most passionate fan bases, and it's great for college football. It's great for college football when Alabama's good. But it gets to a point when you're complaining like about being number one, stop, because it's not a good look.
I know.
It's not a good look.
It's one of the byproducts of setting a standard so high.
And hitting the standard. And hitting the standard.
All of the time that now you can't even fumble the ball once. You can't fumble the ball or fire them all.
Yeah.
I mean, we live around
them.
We
know them. Girlfriend. If you've watched the show, she wanted to fire everybody on Alabama staff after the first quarter at A&M.
Guys, they average up giving up 19 points a game last year. Unacceptable.
Fire Pete Golding. 100% of every team that's ever played a sport would love to have that problem. Let's set the standard high.
You want to know a high-class problem? That's a high-class problem. Where the standard's so high, and maybe that's the trick.
Don't you ever fumble or jump offsides.
If you fumble, you're gone. Transfer
don't you jump
portal.
Offsides.
Yeah.
You're I gone. Love transfer it. Portal. Set the standard. I transfer portal. Yeah. Like, what's his name in the Dr. Pepper commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Rico.
Yeah, Rico's time is now.
It's now.
It's like, hey, y'all need a punter?
I didn't see much upside for Rico.
Yeah. I didn't either. You know, I heard he wasn't really committed to the team there in Fansville State. But now, all right, Blaine, one more from the Booster Club.
Got a question here from Chris Reinhardt. What's up, Chris?
Reinhardt?
Asked J-Boy, should we start considering Jimbo Fisher as a top elite recruiter if he finishes this class the way it's looking like he will?
Well, my thing is it's about stacking them, right? We talk about wins. You want to be successful? You stack wins. You want to eat a lot of chips? You stack Pringles. You want to be considered a great recruiter? You stack great recruiting class on great recruiting class. That's what he's doing. This is going to be the best one. They're not done yet. And that's why everybody before the season, I was like, well, next 3 to 5 years, I'm looking at A&M as a problem, as a big problem. The reason? Because they've stacked recruiting class on recruiting class on recruiting class on recruiting class of talented players, and you're going to see it pay out. But where are they really doing well? Up front. That's how you close the gap. The only way you're going to close the gap with Alabama and Georgia is up front. That's it. So, yes, I would put – because, again, it's not just about one guy being a great recruiter. We got to make sure we separate this. It's about the ability to hire multiple guys that are great recruiters that don't cost you on the field, too. Mm-hmm. That's an art form in itself. So, yes, I think we got to consider Jimbo Fisher one of the best recruiters, one of the best organizational recruiters, and you know he's going to stay with the quarterback. But
yeah.
To stay with a quarterback, you got to protect a quarterback. And we have one of the best offensive linemen to ever do it. Notre Dame offensive guard, All-American, Super Bowl champ, blocking for Brett Favre for two seasons. He talks about that. Mr. Aaron Taylor from CBS as well. Let's get AT in here.
All right, the Hall of Famers just keep coming out. Got one of the best to do it. Former offensive lineman, Notre Dame, NFL, CBS Sports. You catch him everywhere. Mr. Aaron Taylor. AT, congratulations, brother.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be on. This is my debut on the fastest growing podcast of all time. You guys are blowing up.
Nah, man. I appreciate it. Like I said, I'm trying to get like you, man. I got to get on CBS or something. But man, it's such an unbelievable occasion. I mean, looking around at all the great players here, you know, I'm sure you're going to get asked 1,000 times, what does it mean to you? But, I mean, especially the position you played. I mean, y'all are the smartest and the most physical. So, I mean, what does it mean for you to be here and be around this group of guys?
And handsome and funny.
Of course.
And humble.
Yes.
I'm more humble than everybody.
Listen, get the list out.
I mean, shoot, let's be real.
Yeah.
And I had to break Harris Barton's heart. I'm like, Harris, I got to tell you this, man. Like, I watched you as a kid, bro. Yeah.
Well, I told CJ earlier, I was like, man, you ain't got any gray hair. And a lot of guys got gray hair in here.
Oh, my God. He's like, Aaron, get away from me. Oh, man. But, like, it is surreal to be here. Like, it does. My brain is really struggling to try to reconcile all my lifelong insecurities with what's taking place. It's like synapses are firing in my brain's melting. But my wife's here. And my three children are here, and they didn't get a chance to see me play. They know the results and the fruit of what I did on the football field and where that started at Notre Dame, but they get to hear stories and meet people and see me in an environment that is amongst the most meaningful that I've ever been a part of, even though it happened 30 years ago. So from that standpoint, that notion of I am because of us, right? Like, this is an individual recognition, but it's a collective achievement of my buddy's parents that made food for us on Friday nights after the football games and let me sleep over and would drive me to practice. And when I found out that I got the award and was being inducted, I happened to have COVID at the time.
Wow.
Very mild case, but it was around New Year's of this past year. And my wife texted me and said, hey, are you in the Hall of Fame? I'm like, I don't think so. So I just opened this box, and it's got a real nice football with your name on it, and it says Hall of Fame. I was like, girl, FaceTime me.
Yeah, right now.
Let me see that right now.
I need to know.
Yeah, FaceTime me. And she FaceTimed me, and there it was in the box, and it was like, damn.
Yeah.
And that's when it hit me, and the first thing I did, Jay, was write down every person, place, and thing that contributed to that moment. Wow. And I started getting on the phone because I had 2 weeks where I had to be myself and watch some wild card football. But that's another side. And I started calling people. And I was having 3 and 4 hour conversations with people I haven't talked to 20 years.
That's what it's about, though.
And that is what it's about. And football is a consummate team sport. And it's so weird to me that we recognize individual greatness when we really should be celebrating the collective accomplishments of what this game is given. And I'm an old lineman, and I'm old school in that thinking, but it truly is the best sport that's been ever created because we learn things in this sport we just can't learn any other way. And it feels good to be celebrated and honored that. But for me, and I think Al Wilson in there said it best, it's got my name on it, but it's about us.
Yeah.
It's our achievement, and I'm going to represent what we did when I was on the field.
Yeah, and football's not a sport. You know, baseball, a guy can come out and throw 105 miles per hour and pitch a perfect game and win you a game. Basketball, you can have a 7-foot-2 guy that can shoot threes and get rebounds and control and take over a game. Football, it takes way more than one, regardless of what position you play. That's why I think it's the greatest teacher of life. You learn to have success with the people that are around you, and now you've reached the pinnacle. But I do got to ask you, Notre Dame, hiring Marcus Freeman.
Oh, did we do that?
Oh, yeah, they did. You didn't hear.
When did that happen?
You didn't hear. Yeah, that's true.
Wait, Brian check Kelly's out?
Yes. Brian Kelly? You mean Brian Kelly?
Who knew he was Southern? I had no idea.
Nobody had any idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's going to go in there and order a poor boy sandwich next. You know, down there in Louisiana.
what's the pimento cheese sandwiches
I know
you guys
where
have?
You're going with this, my man. I love it. But honestly, I thought – you know, with the circumstance the way it was. It felt like to me Notre Dame got a little flat-footed. Mm-hmm. I thought they made the best decision they could. The players obviously wanted it. That's just my opinion. What say you?
BK double moved us. Very good.
That's a great way to put it. O-lineman talking about double moves over here.
He's stuttering go to hell.
Yeah, he did. And they bit.
Oh, they bit hard. Bad. Dirty eyes. Yeah, dirty eyes. True. Real bad eyes. Man, it what an incredible week. It felt like I lived a lifetime.
I know,
the last
right?
few days.
The like, roller coaster, man.
Man, I had to bump up my data plan on my phone because the text messages were like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, the screen time was like, you need to stop.
Yeah, a couple notable things. Brian Kelly, in his mind, believes that he was incapable of winning a national championship at Notre Dame. And that's part of the reason that he left. So that needs to be acknowledged. So enter Marcus Freeman, who is universally loved and respected.
True.
I'm an offensive lineman. I watched the defenses that he called at Cincy. I watched how Notre Dame got better throughout the year. He can coach his tail off. Taking that job is going to be a hell of a challenge, but it's one I think that he's up to. I think it's one that we're all hopeful as alumni and fans, and the fan base loved it. Notre Dame was stale, and I think the jolt of energy that Marcus Freeman is going to bring and has already brought is going to galvanize what was already going to be a pretty damn good team in 2022 anyway. So I'm really excited about the time of what's going to happen between now and when they kick off on September 3rd against Ohio State.
And it's fascinating, too, to see, and that's a matchup that's going to be built. But it's fascinating to see, too, these young coaches. And I'm not a big guy that's on age. I mean, Nick Saban took over at Alabama when he was 57. You got Lincoln Riley taking over when he was 33. Yep. If you're good at what you do, you're good at what you do. But it's seeming to me like college football coaching is starting to become a young man's game a little bit around the country. But I do want to ask you, while I got you here, the playoff, 14 playoff, Cincy, Bama, Georgia, Michigan. You think they got it right?
I do think they got it right, especially with the way we saw championship weekend go down.
Yeah.
Cincinnati was a very good football team. That bore itself out throughout the season. They were the team that beat a good Notre Dame team that got better as the season went along. Alabama, everybody had them on the mount, you know, on the mat for being dead. Mm. And once again, Nick Saban proved why he's the GOAT, man. Yeah. And if Kirby can't beat that team with this team, what's he got to do to try to beat Alabama? That's the other story that really, going into it, I said, if it doesn't happen this year, will it ever happen?
Yeah, well, look, a lot of people have been asking that. But my thing, as an offensive lineman, I know you watched that game. You watch, and I know guys get up for different games, but it's not like Alabama didn't get up for the Iron Bowl. And I know they moved some guys around, had a chance, I guess, to get a little bit healthier. But when you watch the way that Alabama's offensive line, especially the right side, operated against Auburn, who doesn't have the catch Georgia has.
Nope.
And then to see the way that they rebounded and played against Georgia, halfway through the second quarter, Dan Lanning said, all right, I'm going to have to bring pressure. Then halfway through the third quarter, he goes, we can't get pressure with six. How does that turnaround happen so quickly?
Alabama's offensive line this year represents what we saw at the Joe Moore Award universally across
the board.
Great
award, by the way, that you started, man.
The inconsistency of looking like world beaters in week one and falling apart in week two, looking great in week three. We saw that all season long, struggling all the way through week six, getting better and finishing strong. We hadn't ever seen anything like it. And Alabama's performance in the SEC championship game against a front seven that I haven't seen in a decade and a half in college football, including the great ones we've seen at Alabama, they shut them out. Shut them out. There wasn't a TE or an ET stunt that they didn't pass off or square. It was phenomenal. It was actually hard to believe, and I think that's an indictment a little bit on Georgia. When you look at rivalry games, they're different animals.
They are.
You can – Alabama in Auburn, the Iron Bowl, that's a unique animal. But the true mark of greatness is what Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide were able to do, which was flush that really tough – performance with four overtimes and rise to the occasion when you need to be at your best. That's what poise is, being at your best when your best is needed. And Alabama's offensive line, the SEC championship game, was something like I've never seen. It was phenomenal.
It was.
And remarkable how quickly they turned around, how they looked against Auburn compared to what they did to Georgia.
And, you know, I guess you could say Mississippi State, but I look in you know, every one of the big games, to me, it's really one of the few games where Alabama put it together in all three phases, and that's how Georgia's really been beating people, is playing complimentary football in a year where nobody is consistent.
And how about Billy O'Brien and his play calling?
How about Bryce and him being able to check and get rid of it?
It all came together when it needed to, and that doesn't happen by itself. Mm-hmm. And I think that often gets lost when we look at the Jimmys and the Joes and the creatures and the measurables when we're getting ready for the draft and looking at Will Anderson and what he can do and, you know, blah, 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 blah. The way that they put that together, Jay, is unbelievable. And I don't think people appreciate it.
I don't think
all
they
the
do
fan,
either.
The fan bases expect it. They all want it for their school. But it's like it's a unicorn. I won a Super Bowl in Green Bay. I blocked for Brett Favre for two of his three MVP years. Mm-hmm. We were arguably better in 1997, the year after we won our first Super Bowl, when we lost to Denver, than we were the year before. People do not appreciate how hard it is to repeat because of the human nature element that comes in, and Saban has nailed it. And he's nailed it for almost two decades now, and it's why he's the greatest college football coach that's ever existed.
I mean, he's a psychological savant when it comes down to it. And it's hard, and kids change. You know, it's different recruiting classes. When he was recruiting 15 years ago, that's a different type of person than you're recruiting now. And he's been able to evolve like they've been able to evolve, and they love him and they believe in him. But I do got to ask you before you go, the Joe Moore Award. You started, goes to the best offensive line in the country. One of my favorite awards, because I've never seen a championship team, Aaron, that wasn't good up front.
That's right. We didn't invent the offensive line, but we did finally create a way to recognize its greatness.
It's amazing.
This was an inconsistent year, and we're in the process right now of determining who the finalists are as we sit here on December 7th in 2021. The thing I think that really stands out the most is this unquestioned relationship between good offensive line play and successful football teams. If you want to be a good team, you have to be tough in the trenches. It's still a game of blocking and tackling. Mm-hmm. And I think the offensive line, when they have the ability to set the tone and it's done well, teams roll. And I think we're probably going to see that this year as well.
Definitely. Well, I'm excited to see it. I got to get you back on the show again.
I know it's your debut,
but, man, you knocked it out of the park. I'm not surprised you're a Hall of Famer. This is what you do. But congrats again, brother.
Appreciate you, man. You guys got some 3X merch on your site?
Oh, we do.
I mean, tell me about what's the first thing I should rock and buy on your site.
Listen, I'm a big hoodies guy. That's just me. Now, we have, you know, multiple different colors. Also, we've got this camo J-Boy Show Win the Water Cooler logo that personally is the dopest thing we have on there. But you go to the jboyshow.com, you go to the shop. We need to do a jersey swap. We need to do something. We need to do something. I'll send you just a whole box. Well, it's 3X. I mean, you look like you still play AT.
Bro, I could get hurt in a pillow fight right now.
I
don't know about all that.
I don't know, man.
Man, I travel with an inflatable mattress. That's where I'm at in my life right now. That's real talk right there.
But no, man, great stuff, and couldn't happen to a better guy, man. We got to do this again for real.
Appreciate it. Let's do it.
I appreciate you, brother. Definitely.
Aaron can still play. Don't let him
fool
you.
Don't let him fool you.
I've seen the man in person. Like, he can really still play. No, we appreciate Aaron Kamani, and he makes some good points. I mean, you look at the juice behind Marcus Freeman. I do want to get to this Brent Venables hire in a minute. We got Parker Thune from Oklahoma's 247 Sports site coming in soon as well. What's the Booster Club saying, Blaine?
Got a question here from the one and only David Heron, a true OG booster. Hashtag AskJBoy. He says, if/when Bama beats Cincinnati by 3 scores, does that hurt the case for expanding the playoffs?
No. I think people are dug in on either side on this. They're going to believe what they want to believe. But I could make the argument that, to me, it goes back to what I've been saying about the parity. And look, I know there's been a lot of parity this year. I get it, right? I get it. We've talked about it ad nauseum on this show. But the ability to get more teams in, to give them the ability to go to the big-time recruits, not just the wide receivers and the DBs and the quarterbacks, the offensive linemen and the defense linemen, where the game is won and lost, where Alabama and Georgia have been the monopoly guys, had a monopoly over all the big-time linemen, being able to say, hey, listen, you can make a great business decision if you come here too. We can put you in front of the same eyes and have that same valuable tape at the end of the year as the Alabamas, as the Georgias, if you come here. And I think you'll see that kind of as an evening out. So, to me, I think this game, this is like a glass ceiling breaker. Like, to me, if Cincinnati loses by 28, it'll make me feel a lot better, because that's what we've been talking about the whole time. You know, we're definitely going to have our buddy Timmy B on to talk about the whole Cincinnati-Bama situation.
Look, he's not going to come on here, you elitist.
Yeah, that's true. I am an elitist. But, you know, the goalposts have kind of been moved a little bit for some of those guys that were kind of talking about the Cincinnati-Bama thing. But that's why we hit the record button. And yes, that will live forever. What did they say in Superbad? People don't forget.
Yeah, the eye in the sky don't lie.
One interesting point you've been talking about with playoff expansion is sort of the indirect way that it would help after the fact, right? So yes, it would hurt the argument. If Cincinnati gets blown out, it would hurt the argument for expansion right away. But what you've been saying is if you go ahead and expand and let the recruits follow that expansion,
yep,
then you will have even more parity amongst that top 12,
yeah,
which I thought has been the best point that you've made on this subject.
Look, really. But it's the truth, too. And you can go to a new place that has those same opportunities and be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, Bama's had the guys. Like, they're still getting them. Georgia's had the guys. They're still getting them. Ohio State's had the guys. They're still getting them. But you can go to a new place and be the guy, you know. What was the coolest car before the Corvette came out? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I could tell you how cool the Corvette is. So that's the way that I look at it. I mean, I think it'll actually help to push to expand it. And, again, I'm not a guy that wants a 64-team playoff. I really don't want the 12-team playoff. I want an 8-team playoff. And we went through the structure of that, a couple months ago, which we can redo that again. But I think 12 is the cap, and that's what we've talked about. But speaking about movement and expansion, the SEC bringing in Oklahoma losing Lincoln Riley. And Booster Club, I want y'all to get hot on this because I want your thoughts on this. This is a very important question to me. Can Oklahoma succeed in the SEC even better now because Brent Venables is there? And you have the argument. He hasn't, been a Power 5 head coach, hasn't really been a head coach. You know, at the end of the day, can you go out and say, I think he put him in a better position than a guy like Lincoln Riley that's won a lot of games? But I look at identity. Mm-hmm. I look at identity. Oklahoma was not going to be able to survive in the SEC struggling to run the ball and not tackling anybody on defense. That's the exact opposite. That's how you get destroyed in the SEC. You pull a Vandy. That's how that happens. But with Venables, you know the defense is going to be fired up. You know they're going to be well coached. You bring in Lebby, who's one sorcery book away from being a witch. Really is a witch, wizard, sorcerer, whatever you want to call him. That's a great combo to me. And to win in the SEC, and we've seen great offenses, 2019 yeah, LSU, 2020 Bama, but those defenses weren't horrible. 2020 Bama defense gave up 19 points a game.
And not even that. Those offenses were beyond.
Yeah, that's an anomaly. There's there's a word for that. It's called an anomaly. It just happened to happen back to back. So man, I almost think yes, guys.
Yeah.
I almost think yes.
What are we basing really succeed? What would be succeeding?
All right, so I look at in you coming into the SEC first 3 years, right? Okay. First 2 or 3 years, being competitive, winning games you're not supposed to win. Because, again, guys, we don't know if there's going to be divisions. We don't know if there's going to be pods. We don't know, to quote Will Ferrell on Old School, if it's going to be something cool that I haven't heard about yet. So it's hard to project, but I like what Oklahoma is thinking.
Yeah.
I can see what they're thinking with Venables. Because you're not just going to go in the SEC consistently for 7 to 10 years and be like, all right, we're just going to score 55 a game and we'll give up 38, 35, 38. That's not how that works. You know what that's called? The Pac-12.
Yeah.
That's what that's called. The Big 12.
Yeah. They saw in the playoffs.
That's what that called.
They got to the playoffs.
That's exactly
right. And let's not forget how behind the eight ball Oklahoma was in terms of their search, right? I mean, their coach leaves for USC, who got months and months of a head start.
For sure.
LSU got months and months of a head start. All of a sudden, their head coach leaves. I mean, we talked about this supply and demand. The demand is very, very high,
yeah,
okay? The supply wasn't there. They go get a coach not only of this caliber, but someone who's been there for over a decade,
mm-hmm,
served as the co-DC and the DC.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic hire. I realize that he does not have head coaching experience, but I think that, again, what we were talking about with recruits following. Will Oklahoma coming to the SEC get some of these kids who are going to be top level recruits to say, well, now I can go play at Oklahoma and be in the SEC. I don't have to make that choice. Will that sort of follow Oklahoma with a defensive minded coach and a great OC? Look, they can keep this train rolling.
I think if you're Oklahoma, you might have dodged a bullet on this.
You may have pulled a Keanu.
The more I look at this, realistically, I think you got rid of a sheep and you got a wolf in there.
Ooh.
That's what I think you got.
That is right? That is a bold way to
sheep himself off to the Pac-12, and you got someone who's an absolute wolf.
A sheep,
who will go
said.
Get
look,
it.
Look, I'll say this. Brent ain't scared,
he'll
buddy.
He'll go get it.
And those guys will play, and they will play hard. And Oklahoma, man, you know what I remember Tommy Harris. I remember thinking of Oklahoma guys like on defense. I mean, at the end of the day, coming downhill and rocking you. But if you've looked at Lincoln, every year they've gotten worse running the ball and playing defense, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now, if you just look at it, if you follow the bouncing balls. But we got Parker Toon in here?
I got Parker in here. Will you talk to him real quick? I'm not sure if his
Parker,
audio's
can you
up.
Hear me? My dog.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? All
there
right?
He
yeah,
is.
Yeah, there
yes.
it is. Right there. There he is. Parker, what's up, man? You got the mic, the American Idol style, man. What's up?
Yeah, there you go. Not a lot happening on this end, comparatively speaking, just given how busy last week was. But it's been nice to kind of have a little bit of respite from the craziness that was the eight-day Oklahoma coaching search.
Yeah, and you know, again, we're talking about we love to hire Venables, and then, you know, bringing Lebby and a guy that to me is one of the most underrated coordinators in the country. Don't get talked about enough because Lane's over there and everybody thinks, you know, Lane's just like, all right, Jeff, here's what we're going to do, and you don't talk. That's not how that works. Jeff's got a big hand on calling the plays. But how do you feel? I saw the videos of the fan base. Obviously, they're fired up about it. Kind of now that the smoke is kind of cleared, overall thoughts on the hire?
Well, I will say you and your staff there made some really, really good points about the Venables hire, which is I actually do believe, and I don't think it's an unpopular opinion, that Brent Venables is more equipped to lead Oklahoma into the SEC than Lincoln Riley was. And I think that's the reason why I do have it on pretty good authority that Lincoln Riley wasn't a great he wasn't entirely on board with the move to the SEC. And so it makes a lot of sense there, obviously, that he would take a job that's out in the Pac-12 rather than the LSU job that was on the table for him in the SEC as well. So you look at what Brent Venables has done, and I think what speaks to the Oklahoma fan base more than anything out here is his loyalty. He's only ever had three bosses, Bill Snyder, Bob Stoops, and Dabo Sweeney. And he's turned down multiple head coaching offers over the years to remain the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma and then remain the defensive coordinator at Clemson. So I would not have imagined that a week and a half ago, anybody in the Oklahoma contingent, whether media or within the fan base, would be arguing that this was an upgrade for the Sooners from Lincoln Riley to Brent Venables. But I think especially now that they've brought in Jeff Levy as well, and you have potentially the most impactful defensive coordinator in the country, now your head coach, and you have one of the fastest rising offensive coordinators in the country. You pay him $2 million a year to come back home to the place that he graduated from and serve as your OC and primary play caller. Yeah, there's a very legitimate argument that you upgraded from Lincoln Riley and Alex Grinch.
Yeah, and I will also say Jeff Lebby has an unbelievable relationship with the Mannings and Arch Manning, so keep your eye on that. That's one of the reasons a lot of people, you know, were looking at Arch and Ole Miss. It wasn't just because of Lane. I'd be willing to say Arch has a better relationship with Lebby than he does with Lane. And speaking about recruiting, Parker, you're going to have decommitments when the head coach leaves, especially when he's as involved in recruiting, especially on the offensive side, as Lincoln Riley is. But what has been kind of your feel of you know, Venables coming in? We know the portal can get hot, and that's where a lot of people are going to go. How's the recruiting reaction been to Coach V getting hired?
Well, I think that's going to be the interesting thing to watch in the days and weeks ahead, because obviously, as I stated before, I think as you prepare for the move to the SEC, Brent Venables is more equipped as a coach to make that transition for Oklahoma than Lincoln Riley was. But the one thing about Lincoln Riley, especially as of late over the last 8 to 9 months, was that dude was recruiting out of his mind. I mean, Oklahoma was on a heater in terms of recruiting, both in the 2022 class and the 2023 cycle, where they had far and away the top class in the nation. You've seen, I believe, we're up to 9 decommitments now in the immediate aftermath of Lincoln Riley's departure. And Brent Venables has yet to secure his first commitment as head coach at Oklahoma. So we know that Brent Venables is a tremendous recruiter as well. And the way I best heard it described from somebody that knew Brent Venables while he was at Oklahoma is that guy can talk a seed out of a watermelon. That's how good of a recruiter he is. So there's a lot of optimism that things are going to reverse course in time in terms of recruiting. But the thing about Brent Venables, couple things of note here. One, he's not a huge fan of using the transfer portal. And I think that was the culture that was instilled at Clemson under Dabo Sweeney was, you know, historically they have not taken all that many transfers via the portal. They have
JUCO
not made
either.
That a priority.
JUCO either, Parker.
Exactly.
JUCO either.
Exactly. They have not made that a priority the way that a lot of other schools on their same level have. Also, Brent Venables is the type of guy that, you know, he's not like that staff out there at Missouri where they're going to offer everybody that would even give them the time of day, right? He's very, very intentional with the offers that he does give out. And in general, just about anybody that receives an offer has a committable offer. So Venables has demonstrated that he's much more selective in his recruiting tactics than a lot of his peers in the coaching profession. So I don't know exactly how it's all going to shake out, particularly down the stretch here in 2022 and the fact that we're a week away now from early signing day. But in time, I think you will see Oklahoma regain a lot of the momentum that they've lost in the last week and a half on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, and Booster Club, fire up a few questions here for Parker. I got one for you that you know, we've talked about the move to the SEC, and that's been a huge narrative with Oklahoma. How does the fan base feel about it? We know they've had a ton of success in the Big 12. How do the fans feel about Oklahoma going to the SEC and joining what has been, you know, the Optimus Prime of the Transformers of the college football realm?
Yeah, well, I think they're optimistic and they're excited about it because if you look at the way that the Big 12 has been, you look at the dynamics of that conference over the past decade in particular, Oklahoma and Texas, in terms of revenue in particular, have carried that conference. Those two schools account for over 75% of the conference's revenue. So at a certain point, I think Joe Castiglione and the button pushers at Oklahoma, and obviously their counterparts at Texas, looked at things and evaluated the way that things stood in that conference and said, you know what? We got eight other schools that aren't pulling their weight and frankly aren't capable of pulling their weight in the Big 12. Also, we have a commissioner who's not willing to expand. They actually voted against expansion, if you'll recall, back in 2016 or 2017, I wanted to say. So expansion was not on the table. The Big 12 was going to remain at 10 teams for the foreseeable future. And naturally, then, the two conferences that were doing a whole lot of the heavy lifting in terms of revenue generation were going to start to look elsewhere eventually. And the SEC was a natural choice just because it's no secret, right? That is the country's premier athletic conference. That is where you have the most talent. That is where you have the most depth. And that's where you have the best coaching, pound for pound. And so, particularly in the sport of football, it makes a lot of sense if Oklahoma and Texas are going to ascend back to national powerhouse status. And Oklahoma's a lot closer, right, over the last decade than Texas is in that capacity. But still, that's a program that's in the midst of their longest national championship drought since 1950. The Sooners haven't won a national title since 2000. So everybody, at least across the fan base, is kind of starting to get antsy as to when that's going to come around again and when Oklahoma is going to return to the zenith of college football. And being in the SEC, I think just because of the level of competition that you have all across the conference, right? And even the lower down programs in that conference have guys that will go in the first and second round of the NFL draft every single year. Even the bottom feeders are not lacking for talent. But the level of competition and the level of added recruiting prowess that comes with a transition like that was alluring to the powers that be in Oklahoma, and I think is similarly alluring to most everybody that's a part of Sooner Nation.
Yeah, well, iron sharpens iron. Blaine, anything for the Booster Club?
Yeah, I've got a question here from David Heron, and he asks, does hiring Jeff Lebby help keep Caleb Williams?
That's a great question, Parker. You got it.
And that is a very interesting question. And obviously, I think that's going to be the biggest point of apprehension for Sooner fans over the next few weeks is, okay, after the bowl game gets over, and by the way, Caleb Williams is going to play in the bowl game. We know that for certain. So he's going to play in the Alamo Bowl. Thereafter, where does that leave him? And does he stick around now? I don't get the sense that he's going to jump for USC and follow Lincoln Riley just because of the bad taste that was left in everybody's mouths the way that Lincoln Riley departed for that new job out in SoCal. But there's a very legitimate chance right now.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Michelin tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Michelin test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests we're going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Caleb Williams could look elsewhere to finish out his collegiate career, and particularly you look at guys that are respected quarterback coaches, you know, the Chip Kellys and Lane Kiffins of the world, the guys that are on par or at least close to Lincoln Riley's status when it comes to their ability to develop quarterbacks. There are going to be a lot of those schools that make a play for Caleb Williams if he chose to enter the portal. That said, he has a lot of love for the University of Oklahoma. He recruited a lot of his good friends in the 2021 cycle to come to Oklahoma with him. And there's nobody that means more to the University of Oklahoma, both in terms of his performance on the field and his ability to recruit his peers, than Caleb Williams. So Oklahoma is going to make every effort to keep Caleb Williams around. That said, I can't say it's a guarantee that he sticks around, but if you're asking me to put money down right now, I would say he stays at Oklahoma.
This episode is brought to you by Simply. Simply by Frito-Lay snacks have ingredients to feel good about with no artificial flavors or colors. So you can snack a little smarter this year without giving up your favorite snacks. Reveal what else you're never going to give up in 2022 for a chance to win $1,000. Official rules at NeverGonnaGiveItUp.com. No purchase necessary. Enter by February 27th, 2022. 17 plus, 50 US, DC, and PR.
This episode is brought to you by Death on the Nile, exclusively in theaters Friday. The greatest detective of all time, Hercule Poirot, returns to solve another deadly case. Join Poirot on a wild ride down the Nile River, promising luxury, intrigue, and murder. Grab your friends and get ready to solve this murder mystery on the big screen. Starring Kenneth Branagh and Gal Gadot. Premiering only in theaters Friday.
Nice. Well, Parker, man, great stuff. Tell everybody where they can find your work. We're going to get you back on here every time we're talking Oklahoma. They're one of the teams in the headlines right now, not 4-2 Oklahoma in the college football zenith, as you put it. But where can everybody find your work?
Yeah, of course. So 247sports.com is the nation's leader in recruiting and team coverage. I particularly work for the OUinsider.com team site, so the Oklahoma affiliate of 247 Sports. And I'll throw this out there as well. Just today, 247 rolled out an entirely overhauled ranking system that now factors in the transfer portal. So you'll have one set of rankings that's specifically for the recruiting cycle. You'll have one recruiting rankings, one set of rankings that's dedicated to the transfers, and you'll have one set of rankings that is a proprietary algorithm that combines both. So if you're into recruiting and you care a lot about where your team ranks nationally in terms of the class that they're bringing in and now the transfers that they're bringing in as well, there is no place that has you covered like 24/7 Sports. So head over there for comprehensive coverage of recruiting, whoever your team may be.
Parker, great stuff, man. I appreciate you. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, man. Take care now.
You too. Finally, somebody's going to rank the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Do you remember we had that conversation?
You've been talking about it, yeah.
Like how can you say how good the class is if you're not going to take in the junior offensive tackle, you know, that played 45 games in Division One?
Or Cam Newton.
Yeah, or Cam Newton. Like, how do you not factor that in? Are we just going to, like, pretend like it doesn't happen?
No.
So I'm finally glad somebody did that. I'm sure there'll be other places that follow suit. But great stuff there from Parker Blaine. I want to get to the Booster Club.
A couple things here. Yeah, we've got a couple donations here.
Ooh.
Got a donation here from SS Austin, a $4.99 donation.
Oh, it's a bread festival.
He says, out of the finalists for the OC job, who would you hire and who do you expect to be hired? I believe he's talking about Auburn.
Yep.
Also, why is Coach Harsin in Vegas for the National Hall of Fame thing? And he's loving the show, man. Keep doing what we do.
Hey, appreciate it. Number one, we were going to talk about the Auburn OC search, you know, here in about 5-10 minutes, but I'll go ahead and get to it. I think Austin Davis is a name. You know, we're the first people really to put that out there, the quarterback coach for Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks. You look at Kenny Dillingham, who's been at Auburn, who's at Florida State. That's another name, and I've had a ton of people say, I still think Del McGee's in the running. You know, you got Keesau, who's you know, a guy that could promote from within, but I will go back and say this again. I think one of two things. Brian Harsin is not going to be the quarterback position coach. He's not. But that doesn't mean he's not going to call plays. And see, this is where the nuance of making this hire goes into. Because when you let Mike Bobo go, you let the quarterback coach go too. Somebody's got to coach the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They're not just going to go out there and be like, all right, hey guys, what's the play? What's the play? What are we running? Post. It's a post. So post, Bert, that's not how it works. So you got to bring in a guy that can coach the quarterbacks. Now, a lot of OCs, young guys, want to call plays. You don't want to be an OC and not call the plays. Because think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks it's your offense.
You're getting blamed.
And you're going to get blamed when it goes bad, but not get the credit when it goes good because you're not calling the plays.
Exactly.
That's a tough spot to be in.
And the people who would hire you, other coaches around the country, know the truth if you're not calling the plays. So it's not like you can only get the blame and not any of the credit. Because the other people that may hire you for jobs are going to say, well, we know that Brian Harsin was calling those plays. But if things go poorly, all of the fan base thinks you called the plays.
You know where we've seen this movie before?
Hit me.
Gus Malzahn. We've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
You know, you don't – listen, you loved Dumb and Dumber? Dumb and Dumberer? Nah. Mm. Dumb and Dumber 2? Nah.
Pass.
Like, sequels are never better.
They're never better. So to me, if you are going to call the plays, you bring in the best quarterback coach you can find and best recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I don't care if you got to get Del McGee to go coach a quarterback. Del could do it. Dude, it's a Del. He'll figure it out.
Before you finish that, we did have a $4.99 donation from James Stalling. He says,
hold on, though. My money's on Austin Davis. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was going to say this because this pertains to the same thing. J-Boy, I love the show. I got
appreciate
a question
it.
For you. Who will be the next offensive coordinator for Auburn?
Look. We just got back from Vegas, town of gambling. Parker just said if he had to put his money, he'd put it on Caleb Williams staying at Oklahoma. If I had to put my money on it and put it in tiers, I'd put 100 on Austin Davis.
Mm. Dropping a Benji?
I'd put 50 on Austin Davis, and then I'd put 25 on Dillingham.
I'll do it for half.
Wow.
You do it for half?
I think we're going to do it for half? I think we're going to see.
Decision. I'll put $1 million on David Cohn.
I think we're going to see Caleb Williams and some purple and gold sooner or later.
Yeah, and you know what? We got to do the trash can thing this week.
Yeah, we do. You get put in a trash can this week. Oh, I already got it all planned out.
I mean, I already have it all planned out.
Great, grand. But no, my money's on Austin Davis right now. But, you know, you think head coaching searches are crazy? Like assistants? That's even crazier. Because the pool is a whole lot bigger than they are for head coaches. So, you know, it's topsy turvy, this, that, and the other. But my money's on Austin Davis. What else we got from the
Got a question from Mike and them, hashtag AskJBoy. He says, will Cohn give another pregame speech to Michigan so I can bet the over?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. It's ready to go, but you're not going to hear it for a little while. Probably a 24-hour prior thing, okay? Hey, we need that momentum.
Is your closet ready? How ready are the belts and the khakis and the shoes?
Ohio week is only 1 week long. It's only 1 week long, so it only had to deal with the brunt of that for like 7 days, right? Yep. This, I have a month to go. The closet's getting hammered.
Well, I'm just waiting to see. Obviously, you know, your wife, the daughter of Richard Todd, you know, big time Alabama quarterback, Alabama fan, obviously, you. Michigan alum. What happens if Michigan and Bama plays in the title game? Like, what happens then?
It's so funny. I got a call yesterday, and my father-in-law thinks that Will Anderson is just as good, if not better, than Aiden Hutchinson, and maybe should have been a Heisman finalist.
I agree with that.
Their whole family was like, don't send David that. Don't send David. We're just like, David's not as sensitive as y'all think he is. I could tell him this kind of stuff. But here's the consensus in the household.
Okay. So this is what Darby said.
Sure. It's one and two ranking. Yep. And if you both played in the national championship, it's good problems. What'd you say? First world problems.
High class problems.
Finally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've been doing their thing. What'd you say? They're the USSR over here.
We've probably got
a high class problem. It may be short lived. I need to soak it in.
Yeah. No, I can't wait to be that. I'm going to be over there just soaking. Speaking of soaking it in, I will be on the couch with a cold soda just watching things go on.
To answer his question, yes. There will be one coming.
Mike and him, yes. All right. We got a $5 donation from Stephen G.
I love it.
Oh, hey, real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Wow. Look at you there. He says, what school? Who got a new head coach will get to the playoffs first?
Ooh.
This is a good one. Valid question.
You're in your bag, Steven.
I want everybody to look at me. Mm-hmm. I want everybody out there in the Booster Club, in the world, even if you're listening to this on audio, I want you to find a way to look at me.
Yeah.
Apple Podcast, Spotify. Hit that subscribe button. Elon Musk, where are you? Brian Kelly and LSU.
Wow. I'll go Lincoln, man.
And listen. Look. Here's what I know there's been a mass exodus from LSU with Brian Kelly and the players. You look at Max Johnson, whatever. And I told you, LSU fans, the optics aren't going to be pretty early. But he's coming in to do what he thinks is best. The best thing that Brian Kelly has is he doesn't care what y'all think. He doesn't care.
He's with his family.
He's got his family.
He's got his family.
Seats taken.
But I'm going to go Brian Kelly and LSU just because you talk about flipping the script.
Look.
Even with Mario leaving.
Look.
The Pac-12 and Lincoln with a clear path.
Guys.
Carson Palmer said it. I don't want to ruin the Carson Palmer interview because we're going to drop that later this week. That roster is bad.
Sure.
That roster at USC right now is bad. And look, I know you've got a couple commitments flipped over, but I wait to see high school guys till they play.
Okay.
But when I look at LSU, recruits itself, you're going to have guys leave. I know they lost the four-star commitment, Dakotas Crawford. I said on social media,
dog.
Who's the next coldest? But I'm Brian Kelly. Like, who are you going to replace him with? The next coldest?
Yeah.
I like Brian Kelly and LSU.
You know, I was kind of surprised. Where were we last couple of days? We're in Vegas.
Yeah.
Right? I'm walking around Vegas.
The Wolfpack.
And you know, the only thing I saw related to college football, huge billboard where you're going over the strip. Huge.
Hit him with it.
Huge. I saw it 7 to 10 times in 3 days.
Yep.
Billy Napier
was all over
the place.
PR campaign Florida's putting out right now.
So they're ahead. Las Vegas knows who's about to pop.
Who's spending
he was on
more.
Every billboard.
I don't know who's spending more on PR in Florida, Billy Napier or Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. I thought it was Danny Ocean or something.
Subliminal. I went to an ice cream place, and it was Billy Napier. Give me a double chocolate fudge.
We walked in our hotel room, and there's a chalk on the pillow with Billy Napier's face by it.
I was like, they're pushing it.
He was on Vegas like
Danny Ocean, man.
For sure. For sure. Well, when we walked in the hotel room and the curtain opened automatically, I was like freaked out for a second. I hadn't seen it. I thought somebody was in there waiting on us. But no, look, Florida's been smart with it. And Billy's done a great job in his press conferences as well. I'm just telling you, I tweeted that out and got crazy response saying, I still think Billy Napier is one of the most quality hires, one of the most elite hires that has been made the whole offseason. People are like, wait, what? What? With Lincoln? I'm just telling you, watch this guy.
One good year with
Billy.
Watch
this guy.
One good year.
Watch this guy.
Then you start building the blocks, right?
He gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it. Watch what they do. Just sit back. And it may not be beautiful early.
It won't be.
But you'll see it. Like you said, you know, don't question it. Don't. The result is whatever. It's the process of getting there. It's the plan of getting there. And I love his plan. Blaine, what else we got from the Club de la Booster?
Got a question here from Adam Swindell. Hashtag AskJBoy says, okay, I need y'all to put your tinfoil hat on for this one.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Did Georgia throw the SEC championship game for the SEC to get that boosted extra money for the conference and another reason we didn't see JT a quarterback?
Okay.
This is Adam, first off.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, first off, Adam, I appreciate you prefacing that with the put the tinfoil hat on. No, 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 not a chance, and hell no. Look, number one, Georgia wants that game more than anything against Alabama. I saw something where somebody on a message board said that Kirby was a plant that Alabama planted at Georgia to take all the other team's recruits but lose to them in the This like, do you know? Do you know how hard it is? People, it's not easy to throw a football game and people not be able to tell. Like it's hard. Everything is so correlated. And you have so many moving parts going on. It's hard not to be like, wait a minute, something doesn't look right,
yeah,
or something doesn't add up. So, no. But Adam, listen, look, Pollock came on the show, told y'all he feels like Georgia's gonna win it. Georgia's going to come back and win it, but they're not doing it on purpose, I promise you. If you could have seen the body language of those players after the loss, I promise you it wasn't on purpose. Hey. And Kirby Smart is not a plant that Nick Saban convinced to take.
But shout out
can
to
you
Adam.
Sure?
Adam, shout out to you.
Shout
we
out to
need
you,
fans like you.
That's exactly
to keep
right.
them honest so they can't pull
well,
this kind
you know
of
what?
Stuff
you,
off. You know?
You throw it out there enough,
yes.
One of them's going to hit.
It's like the Joe Rogan conspiracies that they go down yeah. on the show. It's like, hey, man. Keep them honest.
They're going to be like, listen, we're putting together the Warren Commission again to investigate whether Kirby Smart's truly a plant. You know, we got the Red Scare.
Oh.
Like McCarthyism's back, but in college football form. What else we got, Blaine?
We have a question here from, I just found it and I just lost it. All right, Kendrick Washington, who does LSU go hire for the OC in D.C.?
Well, you know, you've seen the Joe Brady to Miami stuff going on. Brian is going, look. There's not a ton of huge names out there that Brian Kelly's going to go hire at OC that somebody's like, oh my gosh, that guy? They got him? They went to the NFL, got this, that, and the other? He's going to hire somebody because, look, Brian Kelly is going to have his input, but he's smart enough to let his coaches coach. You know, he's obviously, like he said, no stone unturned, this, that, and the other. Tommy Reese didn't happen. Joe Brady doesn't look like it's going to happen. To me, if I was LSU, and I'm going to piss off the Arkansas fans, why not throw the bag at Kendall Briles? Why not? Do I think he'd leave Arkansas? Depends on what the money is. But if y'all are talking about paying $4 million for a DC.
Everybody's got a price.
And I've told, look, I said it on the other show at DC. If I'm LSU, you've taken this path before. The last time you went up to Wisconsin, got a pretty good one in Dave Aranda. He's doing pretty good right about now. There's another one sitting right up there. Jim Leonard. $4 million? $4 million? Not $4 million, $4 million. Not gonna coach $4 million a year. We're gonna give you $4 million in 1 year. So why would you not take the same path? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I would take. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Kelly got kind of a young NFL names somewhere around there, but it's fascinating for me to see who's left out there right now and who's gonna, you know, pop up and be available. But again, why not go after Garrett Riley just sitting there now at TCU? Why not go after him? I don't understand it. I don't know why his name hadn't been brought up more.
I agree. We got a question here from Kyle Kennedy.
Yeah.
And I like this one, Kyle. All
right. Yeah.
Which do you think happens first? Lincoln Riley returns to Norman to face OU.
The meteor.
Or Brian Kelly returns to South South Bend to face Notre Dame?
Well, so
can't be neutral site. Playoff.
No. You're asking about home, but there's a way. Hmm. All right, if we expand to 12, they talked about the first round maybe on campus.
Wow.
And can you imagine? Oh. Can you imagine if Lincoln Riley took USC in the first round of the 12-team playoff to go play Brent Venables and Jeff Levy at Oklahoma? They'd have to have more security than Drizzy.
Wow, that's interesting. You know what? That would mean then that LSU probably wouldn't go to Notre Dame, because if they're not in a conference, because we talked about this, if they're not in a conference and it goes to 12, they probably can't get home field, right?
No. So they don't get one of the four byes in that one scenario. The first round could still have home field.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So he could go to Notre Dame. Okay.
Because what I believe is that if you earn a bye in the first four, so the first four out of the 12 earn a bye.
Gotcha.
That next second round and on is neutral site.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think, as crazy as it is, by earning the bye, you would lose home field advantage, even though you're not really losing it because you don't have to play, therefore you're not risking losing.
Oh, yeah.
As Dr. Seussy as that just sounds. But I would love that. I think it'd be great for college football. And you thought you saw Tennessee fans throw things on the field? Man, it's like Ender's Game out there.
How many briskets are going to be on that
field? Oh, man, there's going to be more dry briskets.
Gracious.
There's no telling. What else the Booster Club saying?
We have a $4.99 donation from Jay Leonard. No question behind it, just a donation right now. There might be a question later. He might be typing as we speak.
We're going to throw that in the piggy bank.
Boom, there it is. He already said it. All right, y'all ready? You have to pick three current players to be your head coach, OC, and DC. Who you picking?
DC? Give me Grant Morgan from Arkansas.
Oh, I want to take Grant Morgan.
All right, I'll go three.
No.
All right, three current players. Let's see it. At quarterback, at OC. Man, this is a good one. At OC, give me Matt Corral.
Yeah, why not?
Give me Matt. He's got the swag and some witch in him. You know, I almost want to go Bo Nix because he's seen 18 offensive coordinators.
Zeb Nolan
wouldn't be a bad one. He's already doing it now again. The Jackie Moon Award winner on the show. What was the other one? OC, DC?
DC head coach.
Head coach. You know what? Give me the Caliendo kid, the center at Western Michigan. I freaking love that guy. Got to sound like John Gruden right there. I freaking love that guy, man.
Caliendo kid.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, the center.
How are you, David?
What about Jack Cohn, OC at Notre Dame? Just seems like he could fit in.
Y'all aren't even related, man.
I know. I'm not saying it because we are. It's not even spelled the same, but he just seems like – we've been talking about it, right?
He would be like the guy that would just know the playbook, like the back of his hand. I wonder how long him and Dave Aranda would stare at each other without saying anything if you put him in a room together.
And that's good because he wouldn't be the head coach. No speech is necessary. Yeah. He just seems like the type that would just walk into being a good coach,
DC,
right?
Yeah. DC, Jordan Battle. OC, Jamari Sawyer. Head coach, Bo Nix. Welcome to the show.
Wow. That was gold.
That was gold. All right, what else we got from the Booster Club, Lane? As we're wrapping up here a little
bit. We had a couple people in the Booster Club that wanted their scrolling through the chat and did not see a familiar face. So we want to make sure we're going to give a shout out to Eric. You know, they just lost Mario Cristobal. Seen the chat today.
Come on back
here. Eric, you're safe here. We love you.
Eric,
you know what I'm
you're
saying?
Safe, bud.
You're always safe
you're,
here.
You're
so.
In the trust tree. We're in the trust tree together.
Yes.
So hit me with something.
David Heron, hashtag AskJBoy. Thoughts on Ohio State getting Knowles as the DC?
Look, I thought it was a good hire. I mean, Ohio State, you're in such a good spot. You know, you've been able to establish yourself as one of the most prestigious teams throughout the country. You think of Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State. And I love the Knowles hire. I mean, you're adding another legitimate coordinator to a long list of legitimate coordinators that you've had. So, you know, when you look at hires and you look at, all right, is this one good? You know, how's the system fit, this, that, and the other? If you watch Ohio State this past year, they really changed what they did early in the year. So you're not having – it's not like the DC there just took an amazing job and the system he was running was great and it was – you want to run that same system, kind of like whoever takes over for Jim Boeheim at Syracuse in basketball. Are you going to run that zone that they run? You get to go in there with your system, with your identity, and kind of rebuild that side of a ball, the side of the ball, because that's been a big problem for Ohio State. Well, we know that. I mean, again, you've watched the games, and that's a fantastic question. But no, I love the hire. You're hiring a quality coach, a quality guy, a quality recruiter. What else do you need to check the box? And Ohio, look, Ohio State's going to be Ohio State.
Oh yeah,
they're going to keep getting the players. Yeah.
Got a question here from Kyle Kennedy. Is for you, David Cone. Hashtag Ask Cone. Can you give some insight to what players are going through during a coaching change? I believe we kind of hit this a couple weeks ago, but he got asked again, do first impressions stick? How long does it take to coach to win over a locker room?
Yeah, and I meant to answer that part of his question the other day when he said, do first impressions stick? I would have to say yes. I mean, by this time, you know who these coaches are. I mean, just think about someone like Brian Kelly, for instance. I mean, yeah, that first impression sticks. Again, I'll say a little bit about what I was saying the other day. You know, so much of it is what scheme is going to be brought in, because, for instance, I got brought into Michigan to run a certain type of scheme. I thought if there was ever one university who would always want 6'5", 6'6" quarterbacks to be drop back passers, it would be like the University of Michigan and Southern Cal and like maybe Texas Austin, right? Thought you were always safe there. All of a sudden they say this Rich Rodriguez guy's coming in, he's going to run the spread and we're going to run wind sprints every single day instead of practice. Yeah. And quarterbacks have to make the fastest time. I mean, it was just, it wasn't, you know, at that point I knew that I wouldn't be the starting quarterback there. I can only speak from my perspective, but let's say if you were an offensive lineman, right? Or even, I remember some of our linebackers who had bulked up to 245 to play middle linebacker in the Big Ten. All of a sudden, the new coaching staff wants them to play down at 225. We had linemen at 305 bulked up to play in the Big Ten. They wanted those linemen down to like 280. Well, that's a huge difference
that
from
is.
What they were brought in to do. So it is very tough, especially, you know, I think you and I had talked about before, which there's no greater compliment you can give a coach who can come in and win with whatever type of players he has and change his system to fit the best players that he has. Remember, we were talking to Hugh Freeze about that a little bit.
Malleability.
Some other coaches.
It's malleability. The coaches that are able to be malleable, especially early, even with the transfer portal, because you're not, that's not, Bill Parcells had a great, great quote. All right. If I'm going to cook the dinner, I want to go buy the groceries, which means I want to bring in what I want to be able to try. If you, I mean, you're going to rely on me to cook the dinner, I want to be able to go get the groceries.
Yeah.
But early, that's not the case. You're not going to, very rarely are you walking into a team that you're like, wow, well, this is exactly like our identity, exactly what we're doing. We got guys that are the same size I want them to be at this position, and they know this, and the terminology is this, that, and the other. It's not how it works. Mm-hmm. You've got to be malleable. That's how you really find out.
Yeah.
Like early until you're able to get, you know, 2 years of the portal or 2 to 3 recruiting cycles in. That's how that operates.
And one more answer here to finish up his question there is, yes, to Jake's point, when the new coaching staff came in when I was in college, it was made clear that they wanted, to keep your analogy going, they're on groceries. Like, they made that clear. But at the same time, Rich Rodriguez and his staff made it clear to me and others like me who didn't necessarily fit into his system that it was a big, that, you know, we as juniors and seniors were a big part of the leadership of the program. He knew that after a year or two, anyone he didn't recruit would be gone, and he would have his own players that he recruited. And so, you know, I still got to letter for 2 years and be an integral part of, like, making sure that the offense was running smooth from a sideline perspective. And if I had wanted to do something like what you were talking about with Zeb Nolan and get into coaching, that would have been a great opportunity for me. So, look, different coaches handle it different ways. Like you were saying, Nick Saban comes in and, like, cleans house when it comes to a coaching staff. Some coaches want to retain, you know, Brian Harsin did it a different way in terms of his staff. So all of them are different. And you add on to that, this is usually happening in December, right? When players are trying to get their final exams in order, might be trying to decide whether or not to play in a bowl game. And we were playing in the Citrus Bowl that year. So it's just, there's a lot going on for 18, 19, and 20-year-olds for sure.
That is a great point. All right, Blaine, a couple more questions before we wrap up this Wednesday.
Got a question
back
here for
live.
DJ Barber, hashtag AskJBoy. Which of the four teams in the playoff pose the biggest problem for Bama on defense, whether it's personnel, schematically, or et cetera?
I mean, I still think it's Georgia. And people be like, wait, they scored 34. They didn't score 41. There's a pick six. So everybody's like, they scored 41. I don't know. As a defensive guy, I promise you, it's 34. I still think it's Georgia. Because they're going to know what to expect. You've played each other.
Yeah.
Georgia, talent-wise, is as talented as anybody in the country on defense. You can still say that. You had one game where you didn't play good. It just happened to be against a team you've always struggled with in the biggest game you've played the whole season. So to me, Georgia has seen you. They're going to be pissed because you embarrassed them. All those guys came back for that game. To me, I still think you say Georgia. It's got to be, in my opinion. I mean, it's Michigan, love the Hutchinson kid. They've got talented guys on defense, but to me, it's still Georgia. It's still Georgia. What else you got?
I think Georgia's speed is different. Yeah. But Georgia, got a question here from Grant Brown, hashtag Ask Cone.
GB.
Would you have hit the transfer portal if that was the option when you were a player? And if it's yes, where would you have transferred to?
I was thinking about going to North Carolina. Keep in mind, at that time, it was a two-year sit-out for me, and I had already redshirted. So, yes, I thought about it every single day. It kept me up at nights. It was a decision that I was trying to make with my family. Like I was telling him before, there's so many different things happening at once, not only school. And I had, you know, the biggest thing for me was I had already put in 2 years of equity at this place. I was finally one of the upperclassmen. And you know what it's like to be one of the underclassmen at a place, you know, and you're fighting to get established. And the biggest thing for me, like I had said last week, is I watched Matt Gutierrez, okay, who I didn't get an opportunity to play with, but I watched him. He was supposed to be the starting quarterback in 2005. Hurt his rotator cuff the week of the game. Chad Henne ended up having to start as a freshman. He never gave that job up, and he's played 12 years in the league since then. Matt Gutierrez never started a down for the University of Michigan, still went to the NFL, still did five, maybe six seasons with the Patriots, backing up Tom Brady. So I saw that that was a place, even with a new staff coming in, where I was never going to be the starting quarterback, that I could still live out the ultimate dream, which was to make it to the National Football League, had I been good enough, right? Yeah. And so, because they're going to find you from anywhere, especially an
especially
institution
nowadays.
Like that. And what I was thinking was, if that's not the case, which it turned out not to be me playing there, that at least I would have a degree from the number two at that time public school in the nation, you know. So anyway, I'm happy with my decision, and I'm here with you guys.
For sure.
So, you know,
out,
it is what it is.
All right, we got a question here from Steven G, hashtag Ask J-Boy. Is this the craziest coaching carousel you've ever seen?
Yes, it is. I mean, like I said, it's not a carousel. It's one of those teacup things that, you know, you hold on to for dear life at the fair.
You spin the middle?
Yeah. It's been wild because – not just because there's movement, there's always movement, but it's been from Notre Dame to LSU. It's been from Oklahoma to USC. It's been from Oregon to Miami. It's not a bunch of guys just totally upgrading themselves like Billy Napier, like going from a ULL to a Florida, you know, something like that. Marcus Freeman to Notre Dame, first head coaching job. So you've had kind of both ends of the spectrum. But the crazy part to me is that the top end, the most movement we've seen, has been from big-time school to big-time school. And what you're seeing is play out in real time, kind of the architecture of college football right now, where some of these guys think it's going. And we'll find out who's right and who's wrong. But to answer your question, hell yes. It's been wild. It's been one of the wildest years on the field.
Yeah.
And it's funny to say that, saying Alabama and Georgia made the playoff, because that's something everybody was going to be saying. But you look at the parity in college football this year, then you look at off the field, it's nuts, man. It really has. And you know what? I've enjoyed it. It's been, you know, college football to me, I mean, you look at the ratings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something at the end of the day where the sport's been in the forefront for a while now.
Yeah.
All right, one more.
All right, DJ Barber said he kind of messed that question up, worded it wrong, so here's his real question. He wanted to know what offense poses the biggest threat to Bama's defense at the playoff teams.
You know, I'm still going to say Georgia.
Hmm.
I just think they got the best roster. I mean, you look at Michigan, Haskins is a good back. Georgia's got good backs. Michigan's got a good O-line. Georgia's got a good O-line.
That's Cincinnati.
And McNamara and Stetson are basically the same dude.
Mm-hmm.
Really, when you look at it, you know, and losing Bell earlier in the year, you kind of look at that now, you're like, You know, that's one of the guys you need, one of those game breakers, one of those quick strike guys. But Cincinnati, no.
Would
Cincinnati.
Would you put Cincinnati over Michigan threat-wise?
No.
Thank you.
No. On what? What threat? The Bengals?
The only
Cincinnati I'm putting over Michigan is the Bengals.
It's you talking not, about Burrow and the boys?
It's not the Bearcats, yeah. I take you could say, look, Sauce and them at corner are outstanding,
yes.
But offensively, Michigan's seen better than that. They ain't got Olave. They ain't got Wilson. To be honest with you, I'd take C.J. Stroud over Desmond Ritter. I think by the time C.J.
Posing a threat to Bama's defense.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I was going off comparisons of who's played who. So when I'm looking at Bama's defense, And, you know, the way they played against Georgia was extremely good, especially when they were down 10. But, I mean, I still got to go Georgia.
Yeah, well, no, why? I agree with that. No, I agree Georgia for sure. I'm just going for the second and third.
I mean, McNamara's not going to beat Alabama, throw Michigan to a win over Alabama. That's not happening.
No, but, I mean, turn on the hand the ball off, and what's Alabama been bad at this year?
They weren't. Well, look, Georgia's been pretty good at running the ball, too. So, mm-hmm. Look, I would say, Georgia's the best team in the playoff outside Alabama, and I'm not going to say they're better than Alabama because Alabama beat them.
I agree.
I don't disagree with you on a lot of those points, but Georgia got their shot. Let's go get our shot.
There we go. Y'all are going to get y'all shot against Georgia.
Yeah.
That's
what we're going to see.
Good. I mean, if you're a Jim Harbaugh staff right now, I mean, you want to go. Come on. You want to go play the best right now.
Jim walked in the 80s office like, you know what? You need to smile. Yeah.
Did we officially
You can hear Jim walking, but like for 3 years.
Yeah,
you hear those
because he wears cleats inside. Khaki shorts and cleats. Got to the playoff. Unbelievable.
Did my old contract make the shredder yet?
Yeah. He's like looking at. He's like, oh, from 9 million to 4 million, huh? Well, speaking of four, there's a final four.
We're not changing a thing. Yeah.
The AD's going to call him like Michigan wins an Natty. He calls Jim and he's like, listen, I'm cutting your salary to 2 million. We may win the Super Bowl this year.
Every AD around the country is looking at this
just
like,
cut their salary.
What a great idea.
Nebraska did it.
Yeah.
Nebraska did it.
I'm serious. And now watch Scott Frost. Scott Frost's going to come out next season and ball.
That's exactly right. Exactly, because you go home and the wife's like, wait a minute, the check this month wasn't normally in our bank account what it was.
Yeah, but we're going to win the Big Ten West.
Yeah, she's like, I don't care. But no, we appreciate you guys. It's so good to be back live. We're going to be live tomorrow, Friday, obviously, as well. Make sure you guys keep spreading the word. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Turn on the notifications. It's great to be back. Been a crazy day. Flown more in the past couple days than we have in a while. But shout out to the Booster Club, Lane. Came back hot.
They stay hot. They stay hot. It's just those things you put in your pocket.
It's like a healthy step.
During cold games.
The hand warmers,
you run them together.
I'm so proud of them. I love the chat, man.
They're the best. But make sure you guys keep spreading the word. And I am going to go in the trash can at some point this week.
Yes. I'm thinking, is it a Friday thing? I think it's a Friday
thing. I thought you had this planned out.
I got it planned out. I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm going to throw it to you guys, too, and make sure it's a team thing, right? Make sure everybody likes the schedule and how we do it.
I appreciate that, too.
It's going to be a clean trash can.
I'm just going to keep stalling.
Yeah.
It's going to be a clean trash can, right? It's not going to be like a...
Well, I'm not jumping in something that's got like a bunch of juices.
You're not
going to
jump in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it on you.
Okay, that's fine. We'll do that. That's fine. But like the rest of the pre-recorded shows for this week, we're going gone.
The J-Boy Show is produced by David Cohn, associate producer Blaine Crane, audio engineer Faison Sharif, executive producers Jake Crane, Vince Thompson, Steve Chamberlain, and David Cohn, voiceover announcer Mark Aston. Please subscribe to The Volume on YouTube, where you can catch us live weekdays at 3 p.m. Win the water cooler with the J-Boy Show.
The Volume.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.